Well, hello there, ladies and gentlemen, and good evening. The MSS crew is here and welcoming you back to the Fred Bertelsen Memorial Old Time Radio Room of RadioOutOfThePast.org. Today's date is Saturday, February 28th, 2015, and this is your MSS host and frontman, Luis Jr., assisting with bringing to you yet another exciting, exhilarating, and just plain awesome internet broadcast of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. Well, folks, as I promised last week, we are back again and have another OTR surprise cocked, locked, loaded, and ready to go for your listening enjoyment. So, without any further delays, I am going to introduce the presenter for tonight's program. You know, unfortunately, I've been out of the office for quite some time, but I heard there was a little bit of a, to-be-continued thing. So he's taken over again tonight, Saturday, and he just so happens to be the most rotten, wicked, dastardly Canadian that I've ever known. Rotten Rick Spurgeon. Yep, he's back at it again, doing what he does best. Without any, further delays, if everyone could just please sit back, enjoy those drinks and snacks, and enjoy the program. Rotten Rick, the microphone is yours.
Thanks, Luis, and welcome into MSS for this last Saturday of February. If you are listening on Thursday, you know we're picking up where we left off, with the saga of WJR, the powerhouse of the Midwest. If you missed Thursday, you might want to go into the archives and pick it up, because this is a good story, and if you didn't catch the first part of it, what we hear here is a very evocative presentation of the life cycle of a radio station. Not its entire life cycle. This was done at the 75th anniversary of WJR back in 1997, but in my opinion, that's about the time that AM radio began to disappear as far as quality and, I guess now anymore, quantity is concerned. I think this does present some very good imagery. There's great sound bites. Mike Worf does great description, and I think you can't listen to this without some sort of emotional attachment to it. So as I say, it's worth picking up from the archives if you haven't heard it on the Thursday night presentation, but now's the chance to hear the rest of the story. Somebody else said that once on radio, didn't they? Here we go with part two of WJR at 75.
Hi again, everyone. This is Mike Worf, and now that we've had the news, let's turn to the world of sports. He was called the father of sportscasting, and his name was Graham McNamee.
Out there, leading up, he comes into Tunney with both hands. Uh-oh, doesn't do any depth. As they come out of the clinch, Tunney's right catches Dempsey on the face. Then Tunney to the hard left to Dempsey. Dean follows that up with more left to Jack Shaw. And Dempsey comes back with a hard right to Tunney face. Dean felt that, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, Dempsey comes on through with a terrific right. He's got Tunney against the rope. There's another right landing on the champion's jaw. But the large of left to right, and Tunney is down!
In the early days, staff announcers were frequently assigned to describe sporting events as routinely as they did any other of their tasks. Graham McNamee, who could just about describe anything, caught in a moment of history with the Tunney-Dempsey fight. Then there was Ted Husing.
Here's a pitch, it's a slow curve low, and the Babe swings. It's a long one going out toward right center. Sting was backing up against the wall. He can't get it. It's in there. Another home run for the Bambino. So the Babe hits his second homer of the day.
The standard events covered by radio included the World Series, the All-Star Baseball Game, the Army, Navy, and postseason football bowl games, the Derby, the Indianapolis 500, and, of course, the heavyweight championship bouts going on in the world at that time. On radio, there was only one in the beginning. Ted Husing, of course, Graham McNamee, but the man who handled boxing was a graveled voice sportscaster by the name of Clem McCarthy.
Down. The count is 5, 5, 6, 7, 8. The men are in the ring. The fight is over on a technical knockout. Max Schmeling is beaten in one round. The first time that a world heavyweight championship ever changed hands in one round. Ed Ferguson, I want you to have a chance on this broadcast. Everything will shut you out. Get in here and describe that scene. I am going up to the ring to get the winner. Ed.
Everybody has been taken by surprise here. The ring is all bewilderment all around. And here is Clem McCarthy.
Take you two rounds. You know how long it took you?
No, I don't know exactly.
I imagine about a minute and a half.
Well, that's fine. Well, I won't be getting mad for messing around.
Joe, which punch, if any, do you think was the one that started him downhill?
I think the right hand to the ribs.
Right hand to the ribs?
Yeah.
I saw it going in there, Joe, and she looked terrible. Congratulations.
I would have never been no more good if Joe hadn't got this second turn with Smelly.
That was Jack Blackburn, the man who has made Joe Louis the champion of the world. Max, come over here. Bring him over. Max. He came to very quickly, but he was a badly beaten man, and it was all Louis. And here is the distinction of the world's fastest broadcast on a fight. This was faster than Joe Louis and Charlie Redslav. And now I turn you back to Ed Ferguson because...
Of course, Clem McCarthy was equally at home at the Kentucky Derby.
And the head and head sea biscuit on the inside by a neck with War Admiral second as they turn into the stretch. Head and head, both horses under a drive. This is a real horse race, just what we hoped we'd get. They're head and head, and both jockeys driving. It's the best horse from here in. They've got 200 yards to come. It's horse against horse. Both of them driving. Seabiscuit leads by a length. Now Seabiscuit by a length and a half. Wolf has put away his whip. Seabiscuit by three. Seabiscuit is the winner by 4 lengths.
Back in the early days of sportscasting, Detroit's two most prominent announcers were Harry Heilman, Detroit Hall of Famer, and Ty Tyson.
One ball and two strikes, and after Pace gets Edith to miss that half, that high fastball, about letter high. It's over, though. He wants to put the pressure on Edith, and he takes out his handkerchief. He's ready now, turning, stepping onto the rubber. Worst is on second base, and now he backs off the rubber again. He's putting pressure on Hoot up there. He's relaxed while Evers is not. He has to be ready with two strikes. One ball and a throw. Coming here to Hoot Evers. Evers swings. A long fly ball. Deep right center field. The Niger's going right back there. And he can't get it. The ball game is tied up. Evers is rounding second. Going over to third. It's going to be a triple for Hoot Evers. The ball game is tied. It's a game is home. Evers comes home. The ball game is over. The ball game is over and Detroit wins it.
Sometime during the mid-1940s, Harry Wismer came to WJR as assistant to G.A. Richards and also to serve as general manager. A sports writer with a strong and colorful personality, he retained his position as sports director with ABC Radio, which was rather unusual, seeing that WJR was affiliated with CBS.
My name is Harry Wismer. In the world of sports, there have been many great upsets. Victories by the underdog that seem impossible to believe. Some of these took place on the football field. One of the most fantastic took place in the year 1947, when a young band of players from Columbia University defeated the great cadets of the Army 21-20. It was the first defeat for the Army in over 3 years. The engineer for that momentous Columbia victory was their great quarterback, Gene Rossitti.
Harry Wismer talked sports all day, and he dreamt sports all night. He played sports until he twisted his knee, which put him out of action. He couldn't play, but he could announce, and it was said of him that he became the best football announcer developed in the area up until that time. While at WJR, he originated an Inside of Sports show.
Babe Ruth performed miracles that may never be equaled. His many records fill the pages of sports history. Perhaps one day baseball may come up with the man who could surpass the Babe, for sports has a funny habit of having seemingly insurmountable goals reached by newer generations of athletes.
One of the first of the many. His name, Harry Wismer. Now then, you and I both know there is no way in the world I can bring total reflection to any one sport, never mind all the great games from the entire list of scheduling of the Tigers, the Lions, the Pistons, the Red Wings, U of M football, all the sports that we've had on JR down through the years. But for a moment, let's just recall a few of those faces. Remember the voices and the moments. Where there's news, there's sports, and a little music, too.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is John Schuback speaking to you from the U of D Memorial Coliseum in Detroit, Michigan, about to bring you all the play-by-play action of this final game of the 1958 Motor City Basketball Tournament. Coming on the court right now is the U of D Titans, who are indeed united for this one because they've come into this tournament sparkling, indeed playing sterling ball games, which tonight will take them against the powerful Wolverines of the University of Michigan, who were coming on the court just as we came on the air.
All right. WJR Detroit in the Fisher Building. This is JP, and here's Billy. Billy Martin, number one, brought to you this morning by the plumbing and heating industry. Good morning. I'm sorry I wasn't with you yesterday because you went through, you know, one of the few laughers of the year.
That's right. I laughed a little bit and then found out that you were having a laugh of your own on the golf course.
Hey, listen, an old friend of yours has written another book. I know you're anxious to hear about that.
Who's that?
His name is Boughton. Remember him?
Good, I can use it for deer hunting this winter.
In 1949, it was Van Patrick who was named the sports director at the station. He was equally at home with baseball as he was with football, and 2 years later, Van became the Tigers' play-by-play man. But we do recall so well his ability as a gridiron favorite.
O'Brien threw two quick passes to Gladjo, and Bob took the second over for a touchdown. Joe Azzaro added the extra point, and it was 10-7. Now the stubborn Notre Dame defensive unit was containing the Spartans. All-Americans Jim Lynch and Pete DeRanco and safety man Tom Shane were breaking up the Michigan State attack, and Kevin Harty was keeping them off balance with his fine left-footed punter. Late in the third quarter, O'Brien completed a series of passes to Larry Conjar, Rocky Blyer, and Dave Haley to put the ball in a position for Azzaro to boot a 47-yard field goal to tie the score. Now, neither side could gain, and time ran out with the Irish in possession of the ball. And that's the way it ended, 10-10.
When Bob Reynolds took over, it was obvious that here was a man that was very close to being an authority on all the games. You name it, he knew it.
Thank you and good evening, everybody. There are four games in the major leagues tonight, two in each league. In the American League at Chicago, the Yankees are in town against the White Sox. Washington is at Kansas City. In the National League, Los Angeles and Milwaukee and San Francisco and Cincinnati are tangling, and all the other clubs are idle. And I'll have the baseball details of the other sports news of the night for you in just a moment.
Detroit Tiger Baseball.
Perhaps even bigger for the Red Sox. Here's the set on the mound by Lomborg. He delivers. Here's a long belt to that. This will be a home run for K-Line. And the Tigers lead 2-11. Now hit one of the three. Number seven for K-Line. He hit an inside pitch, and he pulled it with power into the screen in left field. A two-run homer by K-Line, and the Tigers jump in front 2-0 in the third.
I've known Ernie since 1966, when I was 12 years old. I met Ernie through a friend of mine who is a sports director at WBAL in Baltimore, and I went up to the press box at the old Memorial Stadium in Baltimore, and Ernie and Ray Lane were doing the games, and I sat between Ernie and Ray when the Tigers would play the Orioles during that summer of 66, the year the Orioles won the World Championship, by the way, and Ernie was very gracious. And from that point on, I was not only a Tigers and Ernie Harwell fan, I was a baseball fan. And from that summer on, Ernie would write me every other week. I had lost my father that spring, and so Ernie became almost a surrogate father.
The year is 1968 when Ernie's sidekick was Ray Lane.
Perhaps it was the welcome home. Perhaps it was the return of McCullough. Or perhaps it was Denny McLane's determination not to extend his losing streak beyond two. Whatever the reason, the Tigers finally began winning again. The first of two victories over the Angels was McLane's 26th, which had been 12 days coming. Their second was a Mickey Lolich two-hitter settled by a Willie Horton home run.
As most of you know, Paul Carey began as an announcer at WJR, but eventually he won the second seat at Michigan and Trumbull, and for 20 years, he called them like he saw them.
Oh, get 'em, Tiger. Rawr.
He swings, there's a long belt to right field. That might be number 400. It is upstairs. Home run number 400 in his career for Darrell Evans. It ties the game at 1-1. Darrell making the tour of the bases, and the crowd is on its feet. Stuart Reddy's pitches. There's a drive to deep left field. That's out of here. Where is it going to land? On the roof. Out of the ballpark. Cecil Fielder has become the third man in history of Tiger Stadium to hit one out of here in left field. It hit the roof and bounced out of Tiger Stadium. A two-run homer. The Tigers lead Oakland 5-4. Cecil has done it. Harmon Killebrew and Frank Howard, the other two who have gotten it out of Tiger Stadium to left field. No doubt about that one. It hit the roof and bounced over. A tremendous home run by Cecil Fielder. Ready to get it underway, and here for the play-by-play is Ernie Harwell.
Thanks, Paul Carey. Strike on the outside corner. Fastball nipped the corner above the knees. He takes his a changeup and got over beautifully. And the pitch on the way, he struck him out. He stood there like the house by the side of the road and watched that one go by. Tigers batting in the first inning. The game scoreless.
Swung on. The guy at the left. That'll be the ball game. It's over ahead of Gosca. McLean, 130th hit of the game for Willie Horton. Single and the ball game is over.
Go get him, Tiger. Rawr.
Play by play on the radio. Play by play.
Back. He makes a one-handed catch against the bullpen. Oh,
Doctor. Play by play. I saw it on the radio.
There's a drive. Way back. It might be. It could be. It is.
Base hit. Right field. The Tigers
with it. It's on K-line
score. And
it's all over.
Jocko swings and there's a long drive.
It's U of M, University of Michigan. Only in our case, it's Ufer of Michigan.
There is the fake and a drop back pass, and he's going to throw down there to Clayton. And it's touchdown, Clayton! Touchdown, Clayton! Oh, Clayton, the first time he has the ball, caught that beautifully thrown pass by Ricky Leach. And you heard the Bo George Patton Shem Beckler scoring horn roar out for the first time in 1977.
They're moving the water off. The Texas A&M team is out on the field right now, and in just a moment, you'll see Dwight Hicks and the big center, Walt Downing, leading the Wolverines underneath that Go Blue, the M Club support you side, and you can hear the tempo in the background as 104,000 fans are slowly picking up the tempo, and in a matter of seconds, old General Patton over there will say, take the field, men, and you're going to hear the gob-darndest roaring from 104,000 fans. And here they come, the Maize and Blues, underneath the big blue blue sky.
Where there's news, there's sports.
The great voices of mornings. The guys that for so many years informed and entertained Michigan listeners. It's live from WJR Studio D.
This is the guest house, where we have listenable music and friendly conversation that's meant for the whole family. Rena McKay and Fred Kendall have picked out some songs especially for you, while Harry Safford and the WJR Orchestra sort of had you in mind, too, when they made their selection. Now, this is Bill Barber suggesting we get on with the business at hand. The first item, of course, is to meet your guest house host. So here he is, the man for whom the days may come, the days may go, but there are none like good old Friday.
Right.
Bud Getz.
Oh, boy. Thank you very much, Bill. Lads, did you hear what the man said? The days may come and the days may go, but there is no day we like so much as Friday. Shall we do our famous TGIF song?
Thank goodness it's Friday.
Boys, do you know what Windy Holden's dad is going to do for little Windy and his pals?
What?
Tomorrow, Saturday, he is going to take little Windy and I think 9 other little gaffers, making 10 in all, to a matinee at the Birmingham movie house.
Yeah.
And this boy is in for a thrill.
Where's that?
You don't want to go there, eh? Harry wants to avoid it, but boy, Papa Holden called me today and announced that he was in for it this weekend. And have you ever recently, have any of you guys had the thrill of attending a Saturday matinee at a movie house? I tell you.
I was killing Sunday afternoon one time.
Oh, well, but, I don't think Sunday is nearly as rough as Saturday
just
matinee.
Just as bad, boy.
You can't hear what's going on. This conversation, the popcorn goes down the neck.
Oh, boy.
They throw spitballs at you. The guys in the balcony drop things. This is...
Pictures,
5 pounds. Yeah, the bill of fare is nice, too, isn't it? Well, at any rate, we want to wish little Windy a very happy birthday and his daddy a very happy birthday.
Along with Bud's wonderful anecdotes and stories, there were any number of wonderful singers that were featured on the program. You're going to hear them all in our series eventually. Judy Carroll, Fred Kendall, and another who literally knocked them cold. Her name, Rena McKay.
All right, now, Reedy.
Yes.
Your turn. Step front and center. What are you going to sing for us this evening?
An oldie called That Old Feeling.
Oh, That Old Feeling?
Mm-hmm.
That's a swell one.
Happened to me, and I
Chiarini. Oh, boy, that's a wonderful old song. Wonderfully sung.
Another phenomenal WJR saga began in 1956. J.P. McCarthy joined the station as staff announcer. Eventually...
Well, I was looking in the mirror this morning after I'd finished shaving and wiping just the last bit of shaving cream off the end of my nose. I stared at myself and I said,
"You have the cool, clear eyes of a seeker of wisdom and the truth."
Bud Guest remembers the Detroit radio superstar as a scrawny kind of kid, fresh out of the army and scared to death. Chief announcer Charlie Park had another memory of McCarthy. He was a fresh, cocky kid that you could tell had what it took to be more than good. He could be great. And so we decided to shoot craps and hire him.
Every morning from 6 to 9, J.P. McCarthy proves once again that he's one of the truly great impressionists of our time. Here's J.P. doing his world-famous impression of Gary Cooper.
"Let's see you wet your upper lip and say, 'The world is full of dames. All you gotta do is whistle.'"
J.P.'s impression of Henry Fonda is a show business legend.
"Here's looking at you, kid."
Here's J.P. as Peter Lorre.
"Dames are simple. I never met one who didn't understand a slap in the face or a slug from a 45.
J.P. recreates Maria Ospenskaya in the role of the gypsy fortune teller.
"It's nothing a little bourbon and soda couldn't fix."
Show business history is made every morning from 6:15 to 9 on WJR's Morning Music Hall, 760 on your dial. J.P., just one more time. Do bogey for us.
"Here is looking at you, my little kid."
Radio 76,
run through a couple of choruses here of the music goes a round and a round. Oh. Oh, you blow through here, the music goes round and round. Whoa, ho, 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 and it comes up here. Oh, you push the first valve down, the music goes down and round. Whoa, ho, 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 and it comes up here. Oh, you push the middle valve down, the music goes down and round. Below, 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 dee-dee-o, ho, ho, listen to the jazz come out. Oh, you push the other valve down, the music goes down and round. Whoa, ho, 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 and it comes out here. Push the middle valve down, the music goes down and round. Below, 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 dee-dee-o, ho, ho, listen to the jazz come out. You push the other valve down, and the music goes down and round. Whoa, ho, 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 and it comes out here.
Jack Harris, live from Studio D and Open House. Jack would be performing a great many songs for a great many years from Studio D. Two of the other stars who had their shows emanate from the hallowed halls, the hallowed studio, Bud Guest with his Sunny Side of the Street and Guest House, and let us not forget Focus with J.P. McCarthy. And that's what we'll do on our next installment, turning to the Bud and Joe Show.
Back to the days of live orchestras and great vocalists, and to WJR's Studio D in the Golden Tower of the Fisher Building in downtown Detroit.
This is the Guest House, 30 minutes of listenable music and friendly conversation designed for the family circle. We are off to another week of lots of good music and friendly chatter. And it gives us a very warm feeling to see so many of you want to share in the frivolity here in Guest House. Greeny McKay and Fred Kendall have some fine vocals lined up,
and Harry Safford and the WJR Orchestra have prepared their usual fine selection of good tunes. This is Dan Minter once again, and it's time for me to take a back seat and let our friendly host take over the driver's seat for a while. And here he is, cordial, courteous, and clever, old Bud Guest.
Thank you very much, Dan. Thank you very, very much. Walter, I have a word of caution for you. Be careful. The floors are very slippery in Guest House tonight. You'll watch that, won't you?
I sure will.
We almost lost the piano player, friends, a little earlier in the afternoon. Somebody has been in here with the wax, I guess. And our man, Walter, was resting quietly on the piano, arms akimbo, on the top of the piano. And all of a sudden, whack! The piano stool went flying 20 feet across the room, and our man wound up on the deck. But I'm delighted to say that we suffered no bruises. Well, maybe a bruise or two. A flatted fip is what we got right there, man. And we're so happy. But just watch the floors, Walter. Please don't let that piano bench get away from you again. We'd appreciate it so much. So glad to have everybody back after a weekend of activity. Anything thrilling or exciting happen to anybody in this group? How about you, Fred? Did you meet anybody interesting over the weekend as you went down life's busy highway?
Yeah, well, I did. As a matter of fact, I met a ragmop. You ever meet a ragmop?
No.
Anybody here ever meet a ragmop?
Anybody ever meet a ragmop in this joint? I mean, you mean really a ragmop?
Yeah.
You don't mean some friend of yours whom you call ragmop?
No, it's an animal.
Is it really?
The animal.
Peruvian guinea pig.
A Peruvian guinea pig.
Is that what they are?
You know all about them?
They used to have one on a show in another medium.
Oh, did they? I never saw one.
Didn't you really?
No.
I never did either.
It's a Peruvian guinea pig, according to our ragmop expert, Mr. Bruce Terrell.
It's in a box.
What does it look like?
An old friend of mine, old Jerry Engel out in Plymouth.
Jerry Engel?
Yeah.
What's he do with it?
Well, he just keeps it in this box, and it doesn't do anything. It just sits in this box, and you look down at it. You can't really discern anything. It looks just like a pile of hair.
Oh.
And then they pick it up, and you separate the hair, and you can see two eyes looking at you. And,
oh.
And it's got feet like a rat. And
well, it doesn't sound like a very charming house pet to me for some reason or other.
It doesn't
but,
do anything. They say it barks when they feed it.
Oh, barks, eh? Well, if you like a rag mop that doesn't do anything but barks when you feed it and it has feet like a rat, I'm proud of Engel. I hope he takes good care of it.
Crazy animal.
You use it as a mop.
Well, you could, I guess.
I suppose you could. Well, anyway, bully for him and bully for you for having met up with him over the weekend. How's chances for a little music? Is the music department warmed up? There she is.
Yeah.
Our Renee. The discussion about ragmop has nothing whatever to do with the fact that I'm going to ask you a question.
Your
coiffure looks,
pretty bad, eh?
No, I wouldn't say that. It looks a little, frizzier than it did when we last met.
Well, that's not unusual. Billy Bigger always says I comb my hair with a mix mask.
Oh, he does.
Egg beaters.
Do we have the top down tonight?
No, afraid not.
New permanent?
Yeah, afraid
so.
Oh,
but that. Well, say, it looks swell, Reen. No matter
we
what anybody says,
weeks.
You fight it through
okay.
to the bitter end. Now then, how about singing for us?
Okay, how about Unsuspecting Heart?
Oh, I'd like that.
Why didn't someone warn me?
another wonderful talent on Bud Guest's program, Renee McKay and Unsuspecting Heart. It was no accident that thousands upon thousands of Michiganders awoke and hustled off to their jobs Monday through Friday, informed and entertained by J.P. McCarthy. What shape were the ditches in? Any accidents or tie-ups? Judy, 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 and John McMurray offered accurate weather forecasts. Because he loved sports so much, he always let us know if the Tigers, the Red Wings, the Lions and Pistons were up or down. And it never surprised any of the listeners who became accustomed to hearing from the leaders, the shakers, the movers, anybody who was anybody, eventually talked to Joseph Priestley.
WJR, the legendary great voice of the Great Lakes, and for over three decades, the most familiar voice on WJR has been this.
Well, good morning, world, and a very pleasant Wednesday to you here at 19 minutes after 6. It's raining like the old proverbial cats and dogs.
When it comes to morning radio in Michigan, the word tradition is spelled with six letters. JP on JR in the AM.
WJR is a Detroit tradition, and JP McCarthy is the voice of Detroit.
You can talk to very important or controversial people and ask them very direct and pointed questions without being rude about it.
I can't tell you how many mornings I've had breakfast with JP McCarthy.
What's the problem with Barry Sanders? It doesn't add up to 150 million, Governor, so where's the rest of the money coming from? Your man has got to get tougher if he's going to close the gap, doesn't he? It'd be nice to see the gloves off, though, one more time, don't you think?
From presidents.
JP, imagine talking to you again. I'm glad to hear your voice.
Well, it's nice to hear you.
Performers,
Charlton Heston.
Nice lovely to be borrowing your audience again.
To people all over Michigan.
Yes, what do you think?
Yes, good morning.
Hi.
Calling in from Lansing.
Everyone talks to JP.
The other end of my line this morning, maybe the greatest golfer who's ever lived. My name is Jack Nicklaus.
JP, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. After his proudest moment, Lee Iacocca. Good morning.
Good morning, JP. How are you?
Right stuff is all about. Good morning, General Yeager.
Morning, JP.
John DeLorean, welcome back.
JP, it's a pleasure to see you again.
Yeah, but it's Raquel Welch doing it, so that counts.
You better believe it.
President Carter. Have you ever buried the hatchet with the Senator?
We've never had any personal animosity.
No one understands Detroit better. Nowhere else will you find a closer relationship between a city and its favorite radio personality.
JP knows everybody who's anybody in Detroit. He's comfortable to get up with.
I like the way JP does it.
While his legions of loyal listeners are justifiably proud, to them and to everyone in Michigan, J.P. McCarthy has been a Hall of Famer for a long, long time.
I'm J.P. McCarthy. We'll get this turkey on the road in a minute.
Stay tuned for Memories of the Late, Great J.P. when WJR's birthday celebration continues.
This is J.P. McCarthy's Focus. WJR presents an active view of life and living. I have a look at people, events, and attitudes put into focus by J.P. McCarthy.
It was 45 minutes of fascinating entertainment and discussion. The guest list included best-selling authors, political candidates, top-flight entertainers who would drop by, and wonderful interviews with people the likes of Red Skelton, Milton Berle, Wes Harrison, even the comedians of the day who regaled the audience with humor.
Mr. Wes Harrison is our special guest. He can create. He's going to do one now.
As a matter of fact, when I want to get even with the automotive companies, when they put out a bad car or something like that, I park it in front of the building and turn the car right toward the offices where the wheels are. And
you're in the right neighborhood for that, by the
way. Yeah, and I just do this. And what drives them really insane is. Eventually, they'll give me another one. And I picked on a little town just north of Houston. It was a small town. I was trying to Conroe, Texas.
Yeah.
And every time I'd go through this town, coming out of the fog or when it was cold in the morning, it was sleepy, you know, about 3 in the morning, something like that. Everybody was asleep. I'd pick up the microphone, and I'd give them this sound.
Yeah.
then I'd cut it off, and then I'd roar through. And I kept that up for about 6 months, and I drove those people right out of their tree. They didn't have any tracks in their town.
Wonderful stories by Wes Harrison. Want to hear a wonderful story about J.P.? One day on his morning show, J.P. played a recording of Rouvan singing Vesta La Juba. As a gag, Joe claimed that he had recorded this the night before while in the shower. Now, a fellow called in and said, "Boy, I just heard your record, and it stinks." Joe responded with, "How dare you say that? Do you think you could do a better job?" The fellow replied, "Frankly, yes." "Be my guest," replied Joe. Amidst the clanging of pipes and hammers in the background, Joe said, "Go ahead." And he did. Vesta La Juba on the phone. This was great. And that was Joe and WJR's first introduction to Fat Bob Taylor, the singing plumber. And Bob soon became a regular on JP's show, and others as well.
Old Man River, that old man river, he must know something, but he don't say nothing. He just keeps rolling, he keeps on rolling for long. But he don't plant taters, and he don't plant cotton, and Tim Dad plants them. You get a little drunk and you land in jail. I get so weary and so sick of trying. I'm tired.
I suppose Joe's greatest thrill was when he was inducted into Broadcasting's Hall of Fame. This ain't exactly chopped liver, folks. With his family and great numbers of his friends and an introduction by Wally Phillips, this was a night to remember.
107 years ago, our fathers, who owned a piece of WJR in Detroit, scoured the country to find a young, brilliant, educated, intelligent, innovative, imaginative, erudite, sophisticated, mature, articulate, devoted, sincere, perspicacious, astute, extremely good-looking talent for their morning drive time. Unfortunately, I was signed with WGN at the time, so I wasn't available. So they thought, well, let's try another tact. What if we were to get something really innovative, the most ignorant, insulting, smarmy, scuzzy, scurrilous, revolting, repulsive, biased, bigoted, angry, tasteless, obnoxious, and obscene broadcaster in America? But at that time, Howard was 8 years old. And was still under supervision for a misguided lewd conduct report at a confessional at St. Patrick's Cathedral. So they picked J.P. McCarthy, a man who had been turned down twice by the Barbara Walters School of Speech. Nonetheless, he's been waking up Detroit on WJR radio for over 27 years, has been rated number one for each of these years. He has a knack for getting important people to talk to him when they refuse interviews everywhere else. He sends his rejects to Larry King, the only person who ever declined an interview with JP. I don't know where he is today, but I'm sure Mr. Hoffa learned to regret. He's a self-made man, which we'll show you in a minute what unskilled labor can do. But the National Association of Broadcasters has nominated JP as Major Market Personality of the Year for the Marconi Awards, 4 years of the award's existence. And Billboard magazine has given JP its National Radio Personality of the Year award 4 times. What's this guy all about, you say?
JP McCarthy. JP McCarthy. There'll never be anybody like JP.
Open House was primarily a music show. Oh, sure, there was the occasional interview here and there, some chit-chat, some banter between the host and the boys in the band. But by and large, music was the main staple. Between the hours of 9 and 10, it was an open house as Jack Harris and later Mark Avery presided over the festivities. And when the talk stopped, it was music. Jack Harris, Jan Wynn, Rosemary McGann, Gene Oliver, Bob Taylor were the regulars on the show. And then there were the guests who'd pop up whenever they were in town.
I mentioned the fact that we had the live orchestra, which was probably about the last live orchestra on radio stations in the United States. And Jimmy Clark and his orchestra would perform every morning. And it was an ideal show place for people who were in town, either at the Fisher Theater and some of the other clubs in town, would have talent, and they'd bring the talent up to perform because it would, of course, be an interesting thing for their clubs to be mentioned where these people were playing.
Recollections of Reg Meridew, former program director at WJR, and here are some impressions created by former general manager Bill James.
Jack Harris. Jack was only there for a little while after I came. But he was a great singer. I thought this show they put on every day was amazing, to be able to ad lib with a relatively large band, a 1 hour radio show every morning. And they did. It was very entertaining. I thought it was very funny. It had excellent ratings.
From the late 1950s into the 1970s, and some recollections by former promotion director Ross Calloway.
Jack Harris, had a live program with music and singers. I remember especially the number of delightful vocalists. Jan Wynn, Renee McKay. Renee McKay came out of Don Large's Make Way for Youth, and she's still active all these years later with the Barbershop Quartet. But all of this was live.
Jack Harris Show for Tuesday, May 16th, 9:15 in the morning, and the show is going to begin right now. Now I'm packing my grip, and I'm leaving today, but I'm taking a trip California way. I'm going to settle down and never ever more roam, and make the San Fernando Valley my home. I'll forget my sins, I'll be making new friends, where the west begins and the sun set in. Cause I've decided where yours truly should be, and it's the San Fernando Valley for me. I think that I'm safe in stating, she will be waiting when my lonely journey is done. And kindly old Reverend Tommy made us a promise, said he'd make the two of us one. So I'm a-hitting the trail to the cow country. You can forward my mail, care of R&D. I'm gonna settle down and never more roam, and make the San Fernando Valley my home. And kindly old Reverend Tommy made a super round, said it made the two of us one. So I'm a hitting the trail to the cow country. You can forward my mail, care of RFD. I'm gonna settle down and never more roam and make the San Fernando Valley my home. And make the San Fernando Valley my home.
Hey, here's a song that goes all the way back to year 1929. That was the year of the big crash, wasn't it? 29? That any of you fellas around, you older boys that were around during the crash? You get hurt in the crash, anybody?
No, haven't.
You didn't lose anything in
I didn't have anything, so how could I lose it?
Boy, just came around at that time.
You just came around at that time. Very good, Richard. Not for this show, but very good. Now, you say you didn't have anything in 29.
Very few people did.
But that's all changed now, Jimmy. If we had a crash today, you and Paul Getty, J. Paul Getty, yes, would be in bad shape.
You remember we had bread lines in those days?
Oh, really?
I saw one day. It was a guy had a toaster in his arm.
Oh, I
very good.
These are the jokes, folks. Anyway, this is one of the songs, 1929, and we dug it out of the old files, and we think it's a good one. Goes about like this. Just a gigolo, everywhere I go, people know the part I'm playing. Paid for every dance, telling each romance, every night some heart betraying. There will come a day, youth will pass away, then what will they say about me? When the end comes, I know, they'll say just a gigolo, as life goes on without me. When the end comes, I know, he'll say just a gigolo, as life goes on without me.
Jack Harris, backed up by a sextet of wonderful musicians that included pianist, organist, arranger Jimmy Clark, Reed Men, Bruce Tyrell and Terry Harrington, Ed Krupa on guitar, Dick Bull on drums, George Ball on bass, and Eddie Webb on trumpet. Later it was Earl Scott. They all could switch off to other instruments, and they all sang as well. How they all sounded together, there was an example with Jimmy Clark, the boys in the band, Jack Harris, and Just a Gigolo. Mike Worf with you, a break for these words, after which we'll continue with Open House.
Now back to Studio D, as Open House presents another memory from Jan Wynn.
I left my heart in San Francisco. High on a hill, it calls to me to be where little cable cars climb halfway to the stars.
one of the mainstays here at WJR, her name, Jan Wynn, a lovely young gal with a voice to match, started it all in 1954, a native Detroiter. She came to WJR via an audition for the Make Way for Youth chorus. Participation in the chorus led to solo work and ultimately to a regular singing job with Jimmy Clark in the band. In addition to vocalizing on WJR, Jan appeared in supper clubs in the Detroit and Great Lakes area, television performances with Arthur Godfrey and with The Lawrence Welk Show.
Two drifters, we're off to see the world. There's such a lot of world to see. We're after the same rainbow's end, waiting round the bend. My huckleberry friend, Moon River and me.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's my extreme pleasure to bring you our MC for today, and today only.
Yeah. Right.
Mark. What's and you name? Can have him, Avery.
Boy, we always want to see how many people we could get into Studio D. The gang is here, the band. This is it, huh?
This is it.
Well.
And I believe we are participating exclusively in this particular portion of the show, aren't we? I mean, you have nothing else but...
We got nothing but a big party from here to the noon news.
Isn't that beautiful?
That's right.
This is what we've been waiting for all this time. No competition with records or anything. I tell you, we appreciate
it. Jeannie was explaining to me just before the show, just during the news a few minutes ago, what a swan song is. Do you know? Tell them what a swan song is.
A swan song, I believe, is the way I understand it, is that the mute swan, when it dies, emits this terrible... pathetic cry as they're dying. And that's what's known as the swan song. That's where it came from. It's this hideous, pathetic cry.
Now we have, I tell you, that's our opening number. Gene Oliver is going to do, it's an old favorite, and it's one we've done several times, called Broken Hearted. It's one in the, I believe, in the late 20s. Maybe it was featured in The Great Gatsby, I don't know. But anyway, I have taken it upon myself to write some special lyrics for this, Abe, and I want you to pay particular attention to this. Gene has some thoughts that I've put down on paper and...
special lyrics.
Special
if
lyrics.
You want to, you can even go in the control room so you won't miss a word.
Okay. All right, I will. Okay.
Broken hearted. And this kind of...
spells it out for us.
Oh, man.
There he goes, Jimmy Clark. There they go, the orchestra. And here we are, broken-hearted. Jack was here for a while, then Avery came with his own style. But here we are, broken-hearted. The story in the Detroit News said, sorry boys, you're through. It also said, I'm gonna go south, so you're gonna lose me too. Hey, it's been fun through the years, so laugh it up through the tears. Then we won't be broken hearted.
Isn't this a luscious little thing at the microphone, I tell you? A vision in pink.
Oh, my. Well, someone told me it was spring. Isn't it spring?
It is spring, I guess.
That doesn't mean anything, but I just thought...
hasn't been weather-wise. Jan Wynn, ladies and gentlemen.
A good friend of, I'm sure, a lot of our listeners, Jan Wynn, who used to be at WJR for 12 or 13 years with me back in the 50s, mm-hmm. Some of the 60s.
And you know one thing, Jimmy, I've always wanted to tell you.
What?
All these years, you know, we did the show, Dinner Date, you know, and Time for Music and all this stuff. And I never got to say a word. Do you know that? I mean, well, you can see why. I talk nothing like Eugene. I mean,
why are you?
No,
kidding?
Really, I sound like a parrot, right? But no, no. I mean, this is true. See, so after about 9 years, I figured it out. You know, I'm talking to myself on my tape recorder, and I played it back.
Play it
took me that long to figure it out. I said, you know, I do sound like a parrot, but that's the way I talk, see? But when I sing different, see?
Well, you
but
better
I often wonder
it.
Why
you...
I couldn't say anything. You know, always, I'm
you remember what it was
here,
you wanted
know?
To say all these years?
No, I forgot. I really, a lot I want to say, but I can't.
But the numbers he's going to sing for us, I think more closely brings out our thought on this program today.
Yes.
I'm not going to say a word, but have her sing it, and then you can see why it has a great meaning for us at this particular time. And it goes like...
You mean we're through? How can you say we're through? The way I've cared for you, you've been the showers we've been through, had happy hours too. I don't believe you mean to grieve me, ever leave me blue. The world would see. I never dreamed that we could part through. Oh, take me in your arms and love me like you used to do. How can you say we're through?
From WJR's Open House after these words.
Hi, everybody. Good morning to you. Welcome to the WJR Open House. This is Jimmy Lance. With me, Jimmy Clark in the orchestra, Jan Wynn, Ponce Ponce is back, and a special guest. Gee, we're glad that you could join us again today, and this wraps up the week around here. Well, I don't know. We're only beginning the day, so I guess we can't really say we're wrapping up the week as yet. We'll see how things turn out, being payday for folks and everything. Jan Wynn is here, as I mentioned, and we're going to talk with Jan in a few minutes and reveal something that has not been revealed about her up till now.
Yeah.
We've talked all the way around it, but we haven't said anything about it. But first, here's Jan to sing, May I...
May I be the only one to say I really fell in love the day I first set eyes on you? May I, with your very kind permission, tell you that my one ambition is to share a love affair with you. Here I wait. Do give me the chance. Do tell me my fate. What is your answer? You will make groom and bride. You may I hear you say I do.
Thank you, Jan.
Okay, we'll turn to that big moment, and they don't make them much bigger than this.
Well, gee whiz, you know, I've kind of clouded an air of mystery around here about Jan and so forth. That gives it away right there.
Yeah.
We've talked about it, and I don't know whether real sharp listeners have had an opportunity to catch what we were talking about or not, but we haven't come right out and said it.
Not in so many words.
But know. Jan is going to become a mama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to name it after all the fellas.
Yeah.
Okay?
Great.
No connection, yeah. Just, you know.
Wonderful, wonderful. So I've mentioned on yesterday's program that I'm now leaving the WJR open house, and so is Jan, in order to go home and become a mama. And when is the baby due?
Well, sometime around October 1st.
Very good. And I'll bet you Jerry is just as proud
yes,
as Punch, isn't
he? Oh, yes, he sure is. We're both very excited. I can't wait, you know.
Well, by golly, Jan, it's time for your second song. We have a real full program today because we're hurrying right along. And Jan is going to sing for us this time, I Can't Escape From You.
All right.
I'm free as a wandering breeze. I'm free to wander any place I please. And yet I can't escape from you. I'm free as the birds in the trees. I'm even free to sail the southern seas. And yet I can't escape from you. Ride away and hide away where we were miles apart. But when I got there, I'd find you there, right in my heart. And so you see that I'm really not free. I'm so afraid you might escape from me, and yet I can escape from you, my darling. I can't escape from you.
Okay, in that instance, Jan Wynn working with the band, along with Jimmy Launce on the open house program. Of course, Jan would sing for any number of years. with Jack Harris, when Jack Harris presided over the open house show. Initially a half-hour show, then it went to 45 minutes, and not only did she have a wonderful voice, but she also had a great sense of humor.
Now, we would like very much to introduce a young lady that I haven't seen in quite a spell. I used to work with her on the radio and on the television, and I'm just pleased as punch that she made it here today to do our show. I'm talking about Jan Wynn. How are you, Jan?
Hi, Jack. How are you?
Good to see you, Jan.
Gee, I had to fight all those lions on the way in, all the jazz they're having for dinner or breakfast.
I want to tell you, those lions are tigers.
Boy, I don't know about eating them, though, you know.
You know what? You're the only girl here, and I see about 300-400 guys out there.
Yeah. Well, I'll see you later.
How do you feel? You should be, without a doubt, the most popular girl in the place.
Well, it's a nice feeling, you know, I guess, but, oh, boy.
Jan.
I get nervous when they're all men, you know.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. The bass man just dropped his bottle.
Mr. Radio, come down here to keep us company.
Now then, before I'm accused of taking all of this much too seriously, let me say that I have no intention of falling into that trap. Permit me to turn to the lighter side of the ledger, or in radio jargon, let's discover what's on the B-side. Alan Funt had his candid microphone, Kermit Schaefer had his hilarious bloopers, and WJR also has certainly had its share of fumbles and faux pas. I'm talking about those little indiscretions which illustrate perfectly that there is a laughable side to this business of broadcasting. All of us, you and me, have fallen from the pedestal of propriety and dignity. When you hear someone at WJR fall from this laudatory perch, your immediate response has been, "Did he say what I thought he said?"
John McMurray now for AT&T, the best in the business, taking a look at this great day. John?
It's very much an overcast setting across a good portion of Lower Michigan. To the far north, there's a little bit of flurry activity, and also along the shoreline of Lake Michigan, some spotty snow showers. Skies are mostly...
What was that?
I don't know.
Okay. Dennis, better turn your microphone off.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right. Think of how much worse it could have been.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
I would have been on the line with my girlfriend. My wife will hurt you.
You'll find hundreds of new and used pianos and organs, including floor models, reconditioned models, and some slightly scratched.
Buddy, I love it. If they only knew. I wonder if Napoleon's closet is any less funny. Attention, short man.
From Ed Head to this marvelous, humorous recollection of Joe Penberthy's.
What a synchro disc is. A synchro disc, for the benefit of anyone who doesn't know, it's an orchestra playing a tune. And it plays the melody, and then it comes to the chorus, and it'll just play the rhythm, while a person may sing with that orchestra. And the singer, of course, carries the tune. Well, one of the fellows that was programming the music for one of the late shows programmed a whole half hour of synchro discs. And if that wasn't funny, all you could hear for the half an hour was ka-chunk, 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 ka-chunk.
Here's a boy with no heart to give, Fanny, 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 not worth one tear.
And there you have it, something quite beautiful from Harold Rome's Fanny.
The Detroit Pistons dropped a game with the Cincinnati Royals last night, 114-99. Tonight, the Pistons and Syracuse play, broadcast time 9:30 on WJR. The weather for Detroit and for all the area, fair and cold, today and tonight, tomorrow fair, a little warmer. The temperature now in Detroit is 8 o'clock, is 8 degrees. Today's high will be 22 and low tonight, 17. On the sports scene, The Detroit Pistons were beaten tonight by the Cincinnati Royals in the first game of a twin bill played at...
Sportsman John Bell.
Garden. In that one, the Cincinnati club came away from a halftime deficit to pour it on in the last half with the final score in that one, the Cincinnati Royals 121, the Pistons 101. Now the weather outlook for Detroit and vicinity. Colder tonight, fair skies forecast, but becoming warmer tomorrow, Thursday night, or rather Wednesday night and Thursday. Meanwhile, the outlook for Friday, high winds followed by high skirts followed by me. Hey, I lost everything. What'd you do with the weather?
Morning to you, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning and welcome once again to our little Hard Crowds of Music Musings and Miscellany. I'm Jack Harris, here to do a little singing, and we have Jimmy Clark, the boys in the damn band, in the band there to do a lot of...
And also be made partakers of his resurrection through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Ryan Lay at the parade's rubber duck race last year. Chilly Willie.
Surprised he's not carrying a Detroit Free Press under his arm, being sponsored by the Free Press.
That's Bob Talbert, riding along on top of Willie's hat.
Is that who that is?
There's Bobby. How y'all doing? Whoops. Chilly Willie just took a little dump.
Took a dive.
Yeah. What did he say?
I hope you said dunk. The Chilly Willy Fan Club. I should have known there would be one.
Back goes Greenfield. He's looking, getting a rush from behind, and he's going to be sacked by Rogers and by Hammerstein. And what else would you expect? That melodious tune strung out by the two Michigan linemen, Rogers and Hammerstein, on the sack.
You were waiting for that all year long, weren't you? You were waiting for that all year long. I don't believe it. All year long. Timeout on the field as Northwestern decided they didn't like, or Michigan decided they didn't like that kind of joke either. And Michigan will talk it over defensively. And Bo Schembechler is right in the middle of that defensive huddle along with Gary Moeller. And Rogers and Hammerstein, their first act here in the Michigan-Northwestern game of 1984 was... rave reviews as they sacked Mike Greenfield for a loss of about 12 yards. Northwestern looking now at a third down and 19. I'll probably be doing the play-by-play from here on for the end of the half because Frank Beckman can't stop laughing at his own Rogers and Hammerstein joke. Too bad we're not playing Oklahoma.
How could you do that to me? Oh, boy. Third and 19. And here comes the reverse. And it's handed off to Duncan around the left side. He's up over the 30.
There's an old adage in the world of sports. The quote is something like, "The good teams get lucky." Well, the same can be said about the good radio stations. Events happen, and at some stations, they cause one to believe that there is a pony somewhere in the pile. It seems to occur those opportune moments for no logical reason. I guess you could say it's a case of being at the right place at the right time.
One of the funnier ones was the time that we accidentally blew the whistle on the invasion of Grenada. We had set up an appointment with the propaganda minister of the Grenadian communist government. And so when we called the morning to talk to him, the operator at the other end of the line said, "What, are you crazy?" She said, "He can't talk to you now." I said, you people are invading us." He said, "I have to go to my battle station. Get off the line." A few minutes later, ABC in New York called us and said, "What's this we hear?" Someone had apparently called them, you know.
and said, what's this? We hear that you are saying that we're invading Grenada. And I said, well, I don't know. Apparently we are. Well, of course, within the next 2 hours, they went ahead and admitted, yes, the invasion had begun. So we stepped right into the invasion and really, you know, blew the whistle prematurely on them. That was certainly great fun.
Well, I've given a lot of thought to just how I'd like to conclude our program. First of all, there are a number of people I wish to thank for contributing material to this series. They include George Firestein, Jan Wynn, Rosemary McGann, Kevin Collett, Judy Carroll, Edith Safford, Ed Milkey, and John Marshall. Also, I'd like to thank those who provided assistance in our research, Nicole Rached, also Shelley Durda, Anne Thomas, Rosanna Lubinsky-Kelly, and Cassie Kreshmer. There have been so many who have assisted me over the years that I've been here at WJR, writers and researchers, on and off air people who were willing to contribute to my efforts. The first was Paul Carey. He won't remember this, but years ago, when I started hosting a program at night called Kaleidoscope, I said to him, Paul, there are so many different ideas I'd like to incorporate in the program, and Paul's reply was, go ahead and do them. Nobody's listening anyway. The last was program director Steve Stewart, who said, we want you to do a series on WJR's anniversary. Well, having said that, let me see if right now I can help someone. Quite frankly, this young man could have held his own with any musical group at WJR at any time. He's a young clarinet player, 17-year-old David Bennett from Waterford, Michigan, a senior at Kettering High School who plans to attend Oakland University in the fall and hopefully pursue a musical career. And so it is that I end the program with a note on tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, get ready to have your socks blown off listening to clarinetist David Bennett. And so our series of memories and melodies, songs and stories, anecdote, quip and quote, the personalities, the legends, 80 years of broadcasting. It's been the story of how one radio station became one with the listener. A thing of tubes and wires, and lo, a thing called radio. The simple dial turning round searches the atmosphere for sound and captures from the silent air song, music, eloquence, and prayer. How strange this mystery of things which to mankind such pleasure brings, and day and night with cheer illumines the dreariest and loneliest rooms. I never turn the dial round, but what I feel a thrill profound fed by the magic microphone, the air takes up its freight of tone and carries safely every word till nationwide the voice is heard. A singer in New York appears and distant California hears. Oh, happier world where all may know the miracle of radio. These things, the tubes and wires, now grace the mansion and the cottage place, and rich and poor alike may share the golden harvest of the air. Flies through the universe, touching every star, always there for you, from its golden tower, WJR. This is your host, Mike Worf, and I thank you for listening.
You have to look at the success and say why, how, and what are the sort of the benchmarks that people look at the Golden Tower of the Fisher Building for. And I hope that as long as I'm privileged and blessed to be in a leadership role here, we will do that, and that whoever takes my place will see that and take that into consideration with every move that they make. Because it is a relationship business, and people want a relationship with people they like. And anything that drives a personal relationship, the same criteria that drives a relationship with us.
A great voice of the people. A great voice for the people. WJR. Always there for you.
And there we have part two of the history of WJR, at least what I consider to be its best part of its history. I hope you enjoyed it. Of course, I always enjoy putting things together for you. And I'd like to hear about it once in a while, too. We like to do things you like, of course. But I'm also interested when you hear things you don't like. It tells me that you're out there, that you're paying attention, that you're alert. And it challenges you to decide about different things in the great OTR realm that we have laying all over, that we can just pick things up at random and play wonderful stuff. Oh, thinking of wonderful stuff, which is beside you for being here, it's wonderful stuff Luis. You know, he's a big-time, big-city college guy now. He does sort of come down to mingle with the masses once in a while, and he's on his way back. Here he comes, about 30 feet away from the microphone, to tell you how you can register your criticisms of my stuff and comments about others and where to send the checks. Luis, give them the numbers and the addresses and all the good stuff you do so well.
Okay, Rick. Thanks a lot and great work as usual. You set them up. Now I get to knock them down. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time again when the MSS Express comes to the end of the line, so I will have to gently but firmly conduct each and every one of you off of the train. But don't worry, we will be back again next week, as I've said it before, and I will say it again. for another round of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise, where we will have another set of OTR surprises waiting for your listening enjoyment. If you have any questions, comments, complaints, or maybe even a request or two, please address them to mikeamelli@earthlink.net. That's MIKEAMELI@earthlink.net. We will soon be releasing the key and returning the room to you, the listening audience. Please do with it as you wish, for as long as you wish. But just remember, be nice to one another. Otherwise, you know, two bad boys of MSS are going to be coming after you. On behalf of myself and the rest of the MSS crew, have a great night, a great weekend, and goodbye.